Remember the 5th of November. Welcome to the third episode of the Split Screen Podcast with only a few minutes left to truly remember the 5th of November. This is the official podcast for BlankPageBeatdown.com and I am the official human being for Shah Shaheed, your host for the next 30 minutes. Today we keep on keeping on with another Bollywood remake of, this time, a kind of mediocre Hollywood movie. But before that, how many of you guys are The Walking Dead fans? Right. Okay. So I can't actually see you raise your hands, but I'm assuming you're all tuning in to the pulse-pounding action of the show this season. Now, potential spoiler, that thing that happened one episode ago, I really hope it didn't happen, because I would feel some kind of emotion for that thing that happened to that someone while they did that other thing. So I really hope I didn't spoil that for you. But even if you're not a Walking Dead fan, then good news, because if you want to get into it, they just did a small 6-episode prequel series titled Fear the Walking Dead, which kind of tells the origin story of how the zombie apocalypse actually happened. So check out my review of Fear the Walking Dead on blankpagebeatdown.com and see if it's something you want to get into, because you're missing out otherwise. Now, speaking of things on screen that are dead and move at a disturbingly dull speed, Priyanka Chopra has a new show on American television called Quantico. It's basically about an FBI recruit who is accused of being a terrorist. Now, personally, the show is very blah for me, but everyone else is going nuts about how, finally, a brown girl can be on primetime US TV. And apparently, you know, it's something that no one's ever done before, even though there are South Asian American actors who've been on TV primetime for years now. But I guess they weren't Bollywood stars, so it wasn't a big deal. But check out my article on this very issue on the website about how I don't really think Priyanka Chopra being on American television is that big of an accomplishment. But what is an accomplishment is everything that Shah Rukh Khan, Bollywood superstar King Khan, has achieved in his entire career. I hate to admit it, I don't really like the guy too much, but I mean, what he's done is a big deal. And it's such a big deal that he's now making a movie where he plays an actor who is just a big deal as him in real life, with many adoring fans, which Shah Rukh Khan also plays in the movie. The name of the movie is quite a head-scratcher. It's called Fan, which must have some sort of hidden, deeper meaning to it. But in all seriousness, I hope the movie's not the typical Shah Rukh Khan movie. It doesn't look like the typical Shah Rukh Khan movie, even though all the jokes that you want to make about, you know, his arrogance and his ego that he's making a movie about himself, it looks interesting. So check out my detailed Fan trailer breakdown on the site right now and why I think it could be pretty good or could just be horrible. Now, the trailer for Fan isn't the only one that you can find on my website right now. The month of November just started, so all of November's Hollywood and Bollywood releases are featured on the site, so you can take a look to see which movie looks most interesting and which you want to see in the theaters, and feel free to share that with me. Let me know what you're going to watch this month. Now, one of the Bollywood movies releasing this month is Salman Khan's Prem Ratan Dhan Payo, where he basically plays the same role he's played 87 times before in a family movie, which, let's be honest, it's the sequel to Hum Saath Saath Hai, or any other fucking Suraj Barjatia movie. And it's just, I mean, it's annoying. So check out my detailed trailer breakdown for that movie as well, also up on the site right now. What I'm most interested, though, is the Tamasha movie with Ranbir Kapoor and Deepika Padukone. And it's basically poor Ranbir's last shot at a hit after 3 consecutive flops. And even though the movie's got amazing talent behind it, I mean, these guys are the guys that made Rockstar, which is arguably his best movie to date. You've got director Imtiaz Ali, you've got Ranbir Kapoor, and you've got composer A.R. Rahman doing the music. So it's literally a recipe for success. But the trailer worries me because it looks like every other Ranbir movie, kind of like a greatest hits of Ranbir Kapoor kind of packed into one film. So check that out online as well. Check out my article on that just to see my concerns and let me know if you feel the same way. That's basically all the most recent articles that you'll find on blankpagebeatdown.com this week. Subscribe to the site and keep returning every week for more news, previews, and discussions as they happen. For now, this is episode 3 of the Split Screen Podcast. Joining me again is Kathy Gibson from accessbollywood.com as we get irritated over the Tom Cruise star Night and Day and its Bollywood remake, Bang Bang. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Split Screen Podcast. With me again today is Kathy Gibson. How's it going, Kathy?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Sean?
Not too bad at all. I'm excited about the upcoming anger I'll be feeling in the next few minutes, just because one of these movies infuriates the crap out of me, and the other one is kind of meh. So really quickly for everyone, we're going to stream through some synopsis for both the movies, and then we're going to get into very spoilerific conversations about both these movies. If you haven't seen either of them, you are the luckiest person in the world. But if you would like to see any of them, the movies are essentially scene-by-scene exact copies of one another. So if you haven't seen one or the other, we're going to get into spoilers. They'll be spoiled so badly for you. Even if you've watched them, I feel like it's already been spoiled for you, but in a different way. So again, spoiler warning for Night and Day and Bang Bang. Kathy, why don't you start us off with what Night and Day is all about?
So Night and Day, the original Hollywood production, came out in 2010 and starred Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz. And so Tom Cruise plays a spy named Roy who has stolen something and from his own agency. So he's stolen something, and in the airport trying to smuggle this device out, he bumps into this sort of unsophisticated seeming woman named June, played by Cameron Diaz, and sort of uses her to be help him get the device onto the plane. And in the course of it, June accidentally gets kind of caught up in Roy's escape, and he has to hang on to her, kind of use her as a sort of shield and a bargaining chip, and it's just kind of in many ways Tom Cruise is obviously one of the biggest stars in the world, but it really is a lot about June, this so very ordinary person who gets caught up in this ridiculous adventure that is nothing like her regular life, and so it's really from her perspective in a lot of ways, or she's really the main character. She's the one we're supposed to identify with.
And what did you think about the movie itself? Did you enjoy Night and Day?
I actually did. I thought it was a lot of fun. I missed it when it came out. It doesn't necessarily have, I don't know, it didn't grab me when it came out in theaters, but then watching it on after the fact, I thought it was a very, you know, fun action movie. It's got a great, great early sequence when June accidentally winds up on the plane with Roy and it's everything while she is in the bathroom deciding she's going to finally, you know, pluck up her courage and make a move on this handsome guy. While she's in the bathroom, he ends up getting in a fight with everyone on the plane, who turns out are agents in disguise. And it's that at that point where she realizes she's really gotten herself in the soup. I thought that sequence alone is really, really good. And overall, it's a fun movie. It's pretty light, you know, for the budget that went into it and all that. It's not a very heavy movie, but it's pretty watchable. It's an easy movie to recommend to a very general audience, I think. Not that that's a bad thing or anything, but just, you know, my dad would like this. My mother-in-law would like this. My brother would probably think it was fun. So.
No, and I completely agree with you. And again, like when I saw Night and Day, I thought it was fun. I didn't like it as much right away because I kind of expected a bit more from a Tom Cruise action movie because of, you know, his Mission Impossible films and Jack Reacher and things like that. Because, again, I saw it, you know, years after the fact. But you know, stepping back, you do look at the movie and you go, yeah, you know what, I guess, yeah, it's kind of fun. You watch with the family. It's PG-13 as far as I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's PG. So, you know, you can watch with the kids and it's just, you know, mindless fun. And the cool thing is, I mean, the action is done pretty well. The story, I found the movie almost, it almost kind of calls out the fact that Tom Cruise is an action star and that's what he's known for. Because mm-hmm. in the movie, he plays an action star who's not, you know, doing the action, you know, with a, you know, with a straight face. It's comedic, you know. Yeah. This is almost like an action comedy romance. And I like that. I like that because it, you know, when you see Cameron Diaz's character reacting to him doing these crazy, you know, unrealistic stunts, her reaction is like, "What the hell?" And this guy's like, "Hey, how's it going?" You know, and I think that kind of calls upon the fact that, you know, yeah, I do this regularly. This is what I'm known for. You know, I felt like that's what they were kind of making fun of, the fact that, yeah, I'm an action star. I'm used to this. You know what I mean? yeah. I really like that. I found that was kind of like a really cool, you know, kind of meta commentary on what mm-hmm. Tom Cruise has now become. He's not like a dramatic Oscar winning actor. No, he's the guy who jumps out of planes, or in the case of his next movie, hangs off a plane. And I like that aspect. The action was really well done, and again, for a comedy movie. And as I'm looking up right now while we've been talking, the director of this movie, and I didn't know this before, is James Mangold. And for general movie audiences, you know, if you don't, you know, if you want to watch this movie or you don't know how to sell this movie to anyone of your friends, this guy did The Wolverine. So, and that one was like, and that was the complete opposite. That was like brutal action, serious heavy drama. Where this is really funny, again, for what it was, it's a good movie. Like, it's a decent enough movie. Like I said, I didn't like it too much in the beginning. I absolutely love it now when you compare it to Bang Bang, which mm-hmm. is supposed to be based off of it. Like, Bang Bang makes Night and Day look genius. Like, it makes it look like a very well layered, you know, amazing piece of cinema, which it's not. But that's just more commentary about how bad Bang Bang is.
And given how much Night and Day really relies on the comedy between Cruz and Diaz, and how good Diaz is, she's a good physical comedian, but her reactions to everything.
The anger's starting, Kathy, the anger's starting.
Her reactions, like you said, you know, Tom Cruise makes all these movies where he does these huge stunts and nobody bats an eye, and really flabbergasted by it.
She's like, what are you doing?
And it's great, and it's very, again, she's really, really relatable. And then to have her role in Bang Bang taken over by Katrina Kaif.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. It's a hard sell.
Okay.
It's a
really hard sell. So I'm going to get right into it. Okay. First of all, I'm not a fan of Katrina Kaif. Okay. I don't go out of my way to dislike her. Like, to be fair, she does what she's brought in to do in every movie. Mm-hmm. So she's not trying to do anything more than that. Even at this stage in her career, she's not attempting to be anything more than what she is, which is the girl. She's the girl in every movie she does. She's there solely for the songs. She's the romance angle. She's not trying to do anything beyond that. Which, hey, you're upfront and honest about it. I don't give a shit. In this movie, what really killed me at this movie, and again, I wouldn't have noticed this if this wasn't A for you, because a lot of your reviews, you do focus on the portrayal of women in Bollywood. Mm-hmm. Which, again, just years of reading your stuff, that's kind of how I know. I kind of see movies from that perspective now. But especially in contrast to Night and Day, Bang Bang, and again, regardless of how good or bad the movie might be, whatever story issues there may be, the worst thing about Bang Bang is that they go completely outside of their own way to make Katrina Kaif's character just the worst portrayal of any female character in any, and again, and I'm comparing this to, you know, other dramatic movies where the woman's been abused and stuff, just because there's so much subliminal messages, you know, at play here with regards to how they depicted her character in this movie, that is so much more dangerous because it is a fun, lighthearted movie. It's a commercial mainstream movie. Mm-hmm. The attitudes that they use to kind of show how her character is, I find to be a hell of a lot more dangerous than a fucking item song, which everyone gets pissed off about. Oh, she's shaking her tits. This is inappropriate for women. But no one thinks about a movie like this where you look at this girl who, and then the thing is, they had a template for a character, which was based on Cameron Diaz's portrayal of the role. But they did away with everything that makes that person and that character an independent woman, mm-hmm. And they dumbed it down so much more. And that's why I feel like if Bang Bang was just an original movie, I'd be like, yeah, okay, cool. Another Bollywood shitty portrayal of a female character. But what pisses me off is you had a character in the Hollywood version who was, again, still being the ditzy character in the movie, the shrieking damsel in distress, still had elements of her personality and her character that screamed independence and, you know, like a respectable person with self-dignity. Whereas Katrina Kaif is such a horrible representation of women or any kind of woman anywhere.
And that there's nothing, as you said, in the remake version, there's nothing really that necessitates that. Like in the remake, Hrithik is again, he's a spy and Katrina plays a receptionist at a bank.
Right. Which again, nothing wrong with that. We're not saying that's, you know, like a horrible way to depict women as being receptionists. Nothing wrong with that.
Right. As opposed to June, who she's in Night and Day, June's character is slightly cooler just because she, took over her dad's auto body shop. You know, so she knows about cars. So, you know, dudes love her because she's a cool chick.
Yeah. She's like she's almost like a borderline tomboy almost basically. Right.
She's a cool girl. And so that, you know, that comes with its own baggage. But at the same time, she's an independent woman who, the point is that she has just been so focused on her job and taking care of her own younger sister, she's kind of neglected her own needs for companionship and hadn't given herself the permission to take any kind of adventures. And in Bang Bang, you've got Katrina's character is a receptionist. And yes, she's looking after her grandmother, but her grandmother is basically totally independent and her own right.
Talking about the grandma really quickly, I just want to mention the grandma's a slut basically. Because here's the thing, the introduction of Katrina's character into the movie is, you know, a shower scene, of course, because there's no other way to introduce girls in movies. It's a shower scene, and the entire purpose of the scene is the grandma coming in and essentially harping on her about how she doesn't have a boyfriend, which again, also fine, sure, you know, older parental figures do that. Why don't you have a man? Blah, 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 blah. But she takes it to such an extent, and she brings up her own experiences. She's like, oh, at your age, I had like 20, 30 affairs. And I'm like, whoa, wait, what? I'm like, to the point where she starts, you know, and then there's the news report of Hrithik's character being a jewel thief who stole and he's on the run. Without knowing anything about this guy, he's literally a criminal on the news. She starts advocating how, now that guy, he's a man's man. You should find yourself a guy like him. A criminal on the news. Not a sexy criminal, not Hrithik, because we don't know at this point that Hrithik's the criminal, or they don't know. You know, this could be a murderous, like psychopath, and she's literally sitting on the couch advocating that her granddaughter should find a man like him. And, like, she's that desperate that she needs to hook up with a criminal just to have a life? Like,
make the point that I wouldn't call grandma a slut for having had sexual relationships outside of marriage. That doesn't...
No, I'm not... Okay, think the terminology you're right. Is a little risky. You're right. I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying, Katrina's at this age, how old and how many guys? Like, and again, and she gets... The grandma gets graphic, okay? She's very forthcoming about it. And I don't know. I find it was an unnecessary, you know, thing to do. Like, you don't need... Yeah, you don't... Again, like I said, like even in Hollywood movies, you've got motherly parental figures who bitch about their, you know, daughters, granddaughters not having a relationship. That's a very common thing. It's not just a Bollywood trope, I'm saying. But I just find it really unnecessary to the point that you start advocating that she should hook up with criminals. Like...
Well, the criminal thing, that is really weird. And it's especially good because it's driven by some sort of nationalism. Hrithik at this point has stolen a jewel that was being held in Britain that had been taken out of India during the time of Britain's rule, and so somehow repatriating that makes him a national hero and not a criminal.
Husband material.
That's a little weird. It's at this point. The grandma didn't bother me at all because I think at this point. It sounds as though the grandma is like, no, it's like she's not even saying, Katrina, you need to get married. She's just saying, you know, you're a grown woman has some needs. Yeah, you need to get laid. So you need to go out and find a guy, which is.
I rest my case about the grandma.
Fine. Especially, well, and at this point, that's the thing is then the movie goes on to make
the
point.
And that's the thing. They harp on that so hard. And it just kills me that they just keep going on about it. Even Hrithik, even till the end of the movie.
And it's let's set up how it happens, too. Yes. That they make the point that Katrina, who lives, I think, in Shimla.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a city. It's not a huge city, but it's a couple, you know,
it's a beautiful location.
People.
It's like it's a very attractive tourist spot, basically.
It's not some small town with like 1,000 people. She's in a biggish city. And even in a big city, Katrina Kaif is going to be one of the best looking women in the city.
Right.
And they still make they try and sell us the point that no one is interested in her. She is desperate and pathetic. She's going to wind up being a spinster who never gets married because she just works.
Right, and they draw the parallel to a scene where, you know, this lady's getting retired in her bank, and and everyone's talking about, oh, she dedicated her life to the job, and she's never taking a day off, and that starts affecting Katrina that, oh no, I don't want to be like that, and yeah, sorry, go on.
And do you believe for a second that she could not get a date?
No. And that's the thing. And the thing is, here's another thing. Even if she was brought up in a conservative family home, right, mm-hmm. where she didn't believe in dating or she didn't go out or, you know, again, there's a lot of scenes in the movie later on, too, where they set her up to be like, you know, the innocent, pure, you know, 24-year-old who's never kissed a boy, who's never seen how it's done, who hasn't seen any sort of MTV, for example, right? So they did set her up like that unrealistically. But even so, you're not oblivious to your own beauty. Like, guys will have, at one point in your life, have hit on you to the point where you know that, okay, you know, mm-hmm. there's creeps out there that, you know, something like that, where you at least you're used to the attention or something, some sort of, you know, something to kind of show that, okay, yeah, you're a beautiful girl and at least you're somewhat aware of the fact that you are. Whereas in this movie, they don't raise that awareness in this character whatsoever.
No, that the trope, you know, about how women are supposed to not know that they're beautiful. BS. Every beautiful woman knows that she's beautiful. That's just some sort of male construct about, I don't know. Anyway, it's a whole
modesty, purity, and some nonsense.
Yeah, I as a man, am supposed to be the only one who understands how beautiful you are because, anyway.
And me telling you that will make you fall in love with me magically. Because I'm the only person to ever raise that point.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
What was Homeschakels, where one of the characters, I think a Saif Ali Khan character, it literally has the mind of a child, and he tells his doctor who's treating him that she's beautiful and she falls for him.
Well, that's, please. I mean, okay. If you think about it, that's so many movies. I mean, again, you brought up like a good point, but there's so many movies like that. Even like, if you think about Tanu Weds Manu, which was the sequel just came out recently, mm-hmm. that movie, as good as it was, you know, she ends up with the guy just because he was giving her a lot of attention and essentially cared for her and showed interest in her. I mean, at the end of the way, again, I'm simplifying a lot. There's a lot of other layers at work. But a lot of Bollywood movies have this problem, though, where just because the girl's being shown attention by this guy whom she initially might not have liked, but she sees how mm-hmm. much he's willing to do for her, whatever. Again, Hamari Adhuri Kahani that you recently reviewed, similar thing. You know, just because a guy shows interest apparently makes this gorgeous, you know, actress quality character completely start believing them and goes, you think I'm hot? Well then, you know, that this is a commitment. This is something we can build a relationship on. And it's like, are you ridiculous? And especially in this case where, again, coming back to Bang Bang, there's a lot of these other instances in the movie where, I mean, her entire arc in the film is that her life isn't adventurous enough. That is the entire arc of her story. At the end of the movie, that's what Katrina is upset about. That's what breaks out of her shell, that, you know, being with you is what's making me have this adventure, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's the emotional arc of her story, that I'm boring, and here's the adventure I'm mm-hmm. having that I inadvertently got caught up with, and now I'm this super hot, sexy chick who's going to end up with you, super spy, crazy, awesome guy.
Yeah. Well, and it's totally, the point is firmly made at the end. The big difference between Night and Day and Bang Bang is that Cameron Diaz's character, in the end, so she winds up being separated from the spy. And presumably she's being told that he's dead and all that. And she realizes that, no, he's not. There's no way that he could have died. And the same thing happens with Katrina and Hrithik. And so in Night and Day, Cameron Diaz's character takes the initiative she says, I'm going to go find him and get him to... So she goes and I guess finds the bad guys, mm-hmm. knowing that this will prompt Tom Cruise to come save her. In Bang Bang, Katrina's character just gets kidnapped. Yep. She has no initiative at all. She has no agency throughout any of the movie. She's just there for the ride. And somehow her having been dragged along, sometimes literally, makes her exciting, even though she never really decides to be exciting.
Well, it's because she's part of the adventure, Kathy. She's along
for the
ride.
She's part of his story.
Exactly. That's all that matters for a woman in a Bollywood movie.
Well, and isn't that funny how different it is that this is about, like, the Hollywood version is about her evolution into this exciting person.
Right, which makes sense, you know, see beyond her career, see beyond herself, you know, let loose a little bit. And the thing is, Cameron Diaz's character, again, like, this is what I'm thinking. She was, let's not try to fool ourselves. She was still the screaming damsel in distress in Night and Day. She wasn't anything beyond that, right? But the thing is, there's nuances of her character. Basically, her job in the movie that she ran, I think, with like a car auto body mm-hmm. shop. She soups up cars in her free time. And here's the key thing, right? She had a boyfriend whose marriage proposal she rejected. Mm-hmm. Again, things that don't speak to anything other than, okay, this is a girl who's into her life. She knows what she's doing. She's got her shit together.
Right.
Whereas they stripped Katrina of all these things. Why couldn't she have been a dedicated bank employee? Why did she need to be this, you know, empty brain receptionist who gets hit on by her creepy boss that she has mm-hmm. to, you know, reject offers from, who's has to resort to online dating to find a man. Like, there's all these things that they seem to be purposely stripped away from Cameron Diaz's character to get Katrina.
Well, and that I love that they make the point that, like, oh, online dating, what a loser. Please, yeah. It's how so many people meet these days. It's modern. It's not... And here's my other business side note for this. So they keep mentioning that Katrina goes on truelove.com. Well, Fox Star or whoever was promoting this never bought the rights to that. Like, why aren't you buying the rights to that website and making that the Bang Bang website where people go there and they can, you know, find out about the movie? No, they just let it sit there. It's a total
viral marketing isn't really a big Bollywood thing yet. Oh, any sort of marketing?
Yeah, apparently not.
They just caught a Facebook like Twitter marketing for just, I think, like 2 years ago or something. and you know what? Especially, like, speaking of the end too, like, there's a running gag throughout both films, which I think Night and Day does a lot better than Bang Bang, where basically, you know, the whole premise is that essentially Cameron Diaz, the girl's character, gets caught up in whatever, you know, duplicitous dealings that the guy's caught up in, you know. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that later. But so basically, you know, the guy's a super spy. He has some underground shady dealings. The girl and him cross paths accidentally. And again, it happens in different ways in the movies. But essentially now, the reason why they get connected is because the bad guys after the hero think she's involved. So to protect her, the hero has to essentially keep her with him. Otherwise, the bad guys will get to her and they'll kill her or whatever. That's the entire premise.
Right.
So throughout this, a running gag that I loved was how Tom Cruise in Night and Day has to, you know, through a variety of ways, drug Cameron Diaz and get her to, you know, sometimes it's a car, right? Sometimes it's a thing, right? There's one scene where he takes her to this remote island. And throughout that, you know, there's sequences of, you know, they're in a car and she's dozing in and out of her, you know, drug medicated state. You know, at first they're in a car and he's like, it's okay, we're almost there. And then they're jumping out of a plane and it's okay, we're almost there. And then they're in a speedboat and it's okay, we're... So that's kind of a running gag that Bang Bang has as well. The ending of the movie, though, is Cameron Diaz essentially rescues Tom Cruise in a similar format, right? He gets drugged and she has to, again, kind of whisk him away through all these little locales. And the same ending happens in Bang Bang. But again, I keep harping on this, but this is why. Cameron Diaz's character throughout the movie, when at the end of that movie, she does those things. She saves him, essentially, which is essentially like the complete ending of the movie. You believe it. Mm-hmm. You go, yes, this is a girl that has her own business. She's, you know, rejected a guy. You know, she's the damsel in distress, but she's a normal person. Like, she knows how to do things independently. She has her own vehicle. She's traveling on her own. Like, she's not dependent, or she doesn't feel like her life is dependent on anyone else's, you know, to determine her self-worth. So she does all this shit. And
she has
like,
learned
Right.
Yeah, she's learned skills through the course of the movie.
And
that
that's
she employs
the other thing,
the
too. Yeah, I'll get into that in just 1 second. But yeah, exactly. Throughout the film, you know, all this spy stuff that she's seeing, she gets a chance to play with a gun that Tom Cruise gives her, you know, with hilarious results, but she gets that opportunity. He teaches her how to defend herself in a situation, how to get out of, you know, if someone's grabbing you from behind, stuff like that. So at the end of the movie, we believe that she can do it. You know, we're like, oh, cool. When Katrina does the exact same thing, it's completely unbelievable. I don't believe this girl can do this because literally, like, you know, she's determining her self-worth. There's a scene at the end with Hrithik where, you know, when she has the truth serum in her, you know, and so she's all, you know, I guess high off truth serum. I don't think that's how it works. But and you know, he's shooting their way out of the facility where the bad guys are. And there's a scene, and again, this is what I mean by, you know, the attitude of the woman's portrayal in this movie is so damaging. There's a scene where, you know, finally she's realizing that, you know what, am I boring? Am I, again, this is like the culmination of her emotional arc. And she's going, I am boring, you know, and she's telling Hrithik, she's like, you know what, you'd never be interested in me. Do you find me sexy? Do you think I'm hot? Because if you do, why haven't you tried anything? And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, really? Like, you need, like, someone needs to try to physically do something with you for you to realize that you're attractive or on a comment on your physical appeal. Like, and again, and this is why I think it's so damaging, because this is the kind of passive mentalities about women, their beauty, their physicality, that kind of, you know, perpetuates or plants the seeds for the rape culture that we're living in, where, like, why does a guy have to physically try to get with you for it to be a comment on how attractive he thinks you are? Like, that makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And this is coming from the girl, which is just as much disturbing as it is weird.
She's allowing her own self-worth to be determined by a man, as opposed to the other, you know, in Night and Day, where it really is about her finding her own self-worth.
Exactly. And the adventure is just basically like, you know, like when she gets caught up in this thing that's kind of, it's the catalyst that allows her to come to that self-realization by the end of the movie. Whereas here, it's like Hrithik's presence, basically. Just the fact that he's there is what causes her to go, you're my adventure. This is the greatest adventure. Like, you know what I mean? And that's what breaks out of it, which is you're basically going from, you know, a no-dependent situation to a codependent situation.
Right. And when the ultimate character growth, the ultimate point of it is to get them both in a relationship, that somehow the relationship, presumably heading toward marriage, is the ultimate goal. That's how you know you've made it, as opposed to becoming the kind of person who would on a whim drive all the way to Chile just cause, you know, or whatever, you know, wherever they wind up heading in Night and Day. Like, the kind of person who would just take off on a road trip because I can, I'm fine, and, you know, the world's not going to end if I'm not constantly monitoring things. So it's not a real high bar for women, and even for Hrithik's character, you know, just saying like, oh no, your problem is that you're not married.
Which is
so often the problem, you know, in the only problem in a lot of hero-centric Bollywood movies, where like, oh, you know, you'll have characters saying, you know, to a character played by Salman, like, you're such a great guy, why aren't you with anyone? And like, that's your only character flaw, that you're single.
Yeah. And I like, but the thing is though, I like, again, just the same mentality, I like the flip version of that in Hollywood, or even like the Western culture, whereas, and again, usually it's a joke, but it has some sort of truth to it, because again, like you said, in the, you know, I guess South Asian culture, it's, you're such a great guy, why aren't you with someone? The complete flip of that mentality, which I think is a lot more safer and more conscious on in the West, is, you're not with anyone and you're such a great guy, what's wrong with you? You know, like, it's the exact same mentality, it's the exact same thought, but the perspective of the question, because in the West, we're so much more cautious, you know, it's implying that, yeah, you look like a great guy, but what's wrong with you that I can't see? Whereas from our culture, and again, I say ours in South Asian, I'm including myself, it's more of like an optimistic, hopeful representation of, you know, you're amazing and you're not with anyone, you know, cha-ching. You know, it's, and I think that completely sums up the perspectives of the cultures, where, you know, Bollywood movies might be the perpetuator, but South Asian girls are a lot more, they romanticize a lot of things, whereas in the West, you've got people going, yeah, I don't know you, you seem great, but there could be so much shit wrong with you that I don't know about. which is exactly how any relationship, platonic or otherwise, should be approached.
Well, and that's much of the point of the movie too, isn't it? Where it starts out, and he reassures her, I'm a spy, don't worry about it, and then adds the cautionary note, both of the men do in the movies, that there are a bunch of people who are going to tell you that I'm crazy and I'm dangerous, and don't believe them. And then, when it happens, you can't help but think, but wait, if you knew, maybe you are crazy. And so they give a lot of reasons why maybe I'm not this glamorous spy, action adventure guy.
Yeah.
Maybe there is something wrong with me. And they both have good cause to believe that maybe these guys are not exactly the heroes that they seem. And it's about resolving that throughout the course of the story.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. Now, just to be, again, we're harping a lot about women's portrayals in the movies, but just to be gender equal, I do feel like we should talk about the guys. And again, Tom Cruise, again, like I said, we talked about this earlier, but Tom Cruise in Night and Day, I thought was really good. It was counter-programming to what he's usually done in movies. He is almost, and I love when Tom Cruise does get a little self-deprecating. I love it when he chooses a role that may not show him in the best light, necessarily. Like, for example, Tropic Thunder I'm in love with that role that he did. And I find this was almost a tweak of that, where, again, he's playing a role that's calling out his own established image in the industry, and he's having fun with it. So I like that. And again, even his story arc in the movie, I thought was really good. There was and again, Bang Bang completely ruins this, because in the movie, we don't ever see anything from Tom Cruise's perspective. The narrative is always from Cameron Diaz's perspective. But Bang Bang, again, in a typical Bollywood move, does this, a prologue scene with, Danny Denzongpa? I can never say his name. But Danny's the bad guy in the movie. And there's a prologue sequence with him, and he's an international criminal. He got caught by, I guess, Indian whatever in London, and essentially Jimmy Shergill, who I love, but he's literally the guy he is the Sean Bean of Bollywood, okay? it's because, again, he's an amazing actor, but he does all these bit parts where he repeatedly just gets screwed. Sean Bean dies, but he gets screwed so much. And he's in this movie for literally 5 minutes, and he dies right in the beginning sequence, and that's where that scene ends. And essentially, the only thing carrying over from that scene is that Danny wants to ruin the extradition treaty between London and India, so he decides to steal the Kohinoor diamond. So he sets out a bounty on the diamond or whatever, and Hrithik's the guy who comes along to claim it. He's the one that apparently steals the diamond and claims it. But again, throughout the movie, you find out that Hrithik did all this, he orchestrated all this, just to get close to Danny's character, because Jimmy Shergill played his brother. So basically the entire movie is this revenge plot, which, again, undermines the story of Bang Bang for me, because when you take into consideration Tom Cruise's mission, and he was actually on a mission, there was no sort of personal bent to it. He was protecting this genius kid who came up with this, amazing technology that could power, cities forever and things like that. And essentially, people in his organization turned rogue. They wanted to sell that technology to terrorists or whatever. So Tom Cruise became the person who went against his agency for good reasons. And that was what the premise of the movie was about. Cameron Diaz gets caught up in it. He has to protect her, plus this other guy. Noble intentions. Well, there was a subplot of him missing his family because he had to leave that behind to become a spy. Fine. But the thing is, the problem with these two stories and the events that happen, which are exactly the same in both movies, Tom Cruise genuinely gets accidentally wrapped up with this woman character, who now he feels a sense of protection towards. He has to protect her. Here's my thing. A lot of what Hrithik does in the movie, he doesn't need to do with her. There are certain scenes where he doesn't need to involve her, but he does so. And again, he says later on, it's because he loves her, he cares about her. So my thing is, you are a horrible brother, because you're trying to avenge your brother's life, but in between that, you saw a hot girl, and you're trying to get into her pants. Like, I don't understand, what his motivation is. Because the first meeting, like you mentioned in the Night and Day synopsis, that Tom Cruise uses Cameron Diaz. He doesn't get close to her because he likes her. He thinks she's hot. He has to use her to smuggle this device across, airport security. Hrithik is escaping bad guys, passes at a restaurant, sees Katrina, and walks in to talk to her. That's how they meet. It's not a necessity of his mission or try to avoid the... He sees her, she's beautiful, Bollywood fans cue her hair flowing in every direction, and he walks in and he tries to essentially get... And my thing is, you're trying to get revenge for someone who killed your brother. How do you have time to date?
And how do you also then, by saying, well, I've come to care about this woman, how do you risk her life in the course of this revenge plot and not say, why don't you just get out of here, go into hiding. I'll tell you where to go hide.
Right.
And I'll come back and get you later. As opposed to the Tom Cruise's character, part of him protecting this boy genius is also that he does have a sense of affection for him. It's not familial. It's right. just, he's like, he recognizes vulnerable people and wants to protect them, which is, part of his establishment as a good guy. And he feels the same way toward Cameron Diaz's character. And there's something that says more about his character to me than Hrithik being, avenging his brother.
Right.
I don't know. It doesn't really tell me if you're a good guy.
And it also creates all these plot holes in the story because, again, at the end of the movie, you find out that Hrithik's been working with the authorities this whole time to try to get, close to Danny's character and, I guess, kill him because that's what government agencies do, apparently. but it just doesn't make sense because then why is she with you? Because you have that guy that you're reporting to, played by, another familiar Bollywood actor. But you have that guy that's there. He's apparently, overseeing the whole operation. At the end, the guy in the, who tells him at the end that you're dead to your family, that guy, the older, the chief, right? So my thing is, you didn't need to have Katrina along any of this with you. You could have easily taken her to him and say, hey, she got, she's kind of a casualty, she got caught up, put her in a safe house while I deal with this shit. Easily. And he could have made all her problems go away, and Hrithik could have been on his mission, kill the guy, done whatever he wanted to do, while Katrina was, cleared of all charges and with her mom again, or grandma again.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't make sense to the story, where it's like, her entire reason for being on this adventure, you could have prevented. You care about her, but you're putting her life in danger repeatedly. When you hooked up with her in the first place, when you were trying to avenge your brother, you're not loyal to anybody at this point. Your brother is not important enough to, hold off on dating for a while. The girl you claim to love is not important enough to protect while you're trying to get revenge on your brother. None of it makes sense at all.
No, and he has no reason to distrust the agency he works for, unlike the case in Night and Day, where he specifically can't turn June over to them because he doesn't know who the good guys and the bad guys are within the agency.
Exactly, which is the whole reason why he defected and became rogue, because he doesn't know who to trust, right? But yeah, so
right.
Yeah, it's kind of, and you know what I mean, again, like everything
now,
we've talked about.
Now, what did you think about
sorry, go ahead.
I was going to ask, I was going to kind of shift away to how you thought the action compared between the two. I know there's a huge budgetary difference, like huge. I think the budget for Night and Day was reported at 111 or 117 million, as opposed to Bang Bang, which was about 22 million. I don't know how exactly accurate that is because I don't know if that includes the stars' salaries. But at the same point, there's about $100 million difference in what went into making these movies.
Wow.
And how did you think they stacked up against each other?
Well, I mean, Night and Day. Again, just being completely objective, Night and Day didn't really seem like it was anything, above and beyond the normal casual Hollywood movie. Like, there wasn't, I mean, again, it's a straightforward story. There's no science fiction involved. There's no fantasy elements. The action was mostly just the set pieces, right? Each of the action set pieces. So for that, I think it was good. Bang Bang, again, like for a typical Bollywood movie, I feel like the most of the money got spent in the exotic locations, in the, the song and dance sequences, those set pieces, I think, cost of the most money, because again they weren't, again, because Bang Bang is this commercial affair, you have to do all the traditionally commercial things, the cinematography is crisp and clear and very nice. The actual action itself, like talking about the actual stunt choreography and all that, Bang Bang wasn't interesting, I thought personally. And again, you juxtapose that with all the logic errors and you're like, what, this is the stupidest fight scene in a restaurant that I've ever seen. But then you take into account, Night and Day, where the opening scene, like you talked about, is where, she's in the bathroom of the airplane and Tom Cruise is having this really wicked fight in this narrow, you know, I mean, coach sucks, right? But he's having this fight where he's having to utilize his surroundings. He's in this narrow space in the aisle of two seats on in the coach of an airplane. And it's creative, you know. He's using what he has around him. He's using the narrow space, the close quarters, to his advantage, and it's amazing. But in Bang Bang, there's nothing really out of the ordinary. There's nothing that stands out, especially considering the chase scenes, like the scenes on the bike and some of the scenes with the cars are a scene-by-scene ripoff from Night and Day. So there's nothing innovative that they built upon. Like, the sequence, the car chase sequence are exactly the same. It's the same story. It's the same way it happens. I think the only difference is Hrithik's wearing a helmet. I don't think Tom Cruise wore a helmet when he was on the bike. But, yeah, everything happens exactly in the same way. So, I mean, again, like I said, like, again, and that's why I said earlier that while Night and Day seems like your average Hollywood movie, nothing special, you see Bang Bang and you go, holy fuck, it could have been so much worse. Like, and unnecessarily worse.
Well, and I think like there's a rooftop chase scene in Bang Bang that is that's pretty good. It comes early in the movie, but there's supposed to be this big sea chase where I think
Katrina's
done some kind of a little like handheld, underwater
the dolphin swimmer thing. Yeah,
it's so funny because it looks like the kind of like things like. And Hrithik's in some kind of like rocket propelled booster
So I don't think those things can do what he did. I don't think those devices can do.
I don't know if they can do what they did, or if anything, they look like the kind of things like you rent at some like luxury resort.
Yeah,
and like, hey, come out for a day. Like the cruise ship has just docked, and you can engage in these exciting water sports. And so it's kind of hokey.
And
but,
it was so silly seeing him like a fish just bobbing in and out of the water.
Yeah.
Like I'm looking at that, I'm like, is this supposed to be cool? Is he supposed to come off as this wicked action hero? Because he's really writhing in and out of the water. It is the most emasculating image for a bulky action hero that I'm looking at. Like, he's literally gracefully, mind you, and this is the weird part, he's gracefully writhing in and out of the water as he's shooting people dead. And it was the most mixed message action scene I've ever seen.
I mean, it is. I give him credit for doing something other than just fist fights, where you know somebody goes flying in the air. But it's not when you watch the two movies in succession. Oh man, the difference is huge.
Well, the one
I do also. Oh, go ahead.
No, sorry. Go ahead. But I'll let you finish your thought.
I was going to shift a little bit to another sort of action moment that they don't bother to resolve in Bang Bang, where Hrithik and Katrina jump out of a window. And you don't off of a cliff.
Yeah.
And then they don't even bother to say how they got out of it. But just the fact that that part sets up like some of the worst product placement I've ever seen.
It takes place
in a Pizza Hut that is on the top of a cliff. Where is the parking lot for the Pizza Hut? How does anybody get there? It's on a cliff edge and there's nothing around it. Who is their clientele? Why would Pizza Hut... What I'm saying is Pizza Hut would not set up a franchise in that location.
Clearly escaped convicts looking to get away. Which is amazing. Which is just one of the best parts. And what I wanted to quickly change gears. Actually, sorry. Building on what you said really quickly. So when they fall off that window, literally down a cliff, you have Pawan Malhotra, who plays the initial cop who you realize later on works with the bad guy. He says, as they've literally disappeared into like the fogginess of the cliff, he doesn't believe that he died, that Hrithik died. He tells his, you know, underling that, no, someone's watching out for this guy. There's no way he's dead. Yet at later on, where Hrithik gets shot and falls into, you know, just off of a bridge into water, he's very confident that Hrithik's done for. You've seen no body. Literally, it was like a 20-foot drop into water, and you think he died. Yet he plunged hundreds of feet into a deep cliff ravine, and you're so confident that he didn't die. Like, it makes no sense.
Exactly. Good times.
Well, quickly, I do want to talk about one thing before we wrap up, because we just murdered this thing to death. But really quickly, first of all, the director for Bang Bang has never been, a good one for me. He's the guy who did movies like Salam Namaste, Tarampam, Anjana Anjani. His movies have always had this tinge of horribleness to them. But what I was looking forward to in Bang Bang was the fact that it was written by Sujoy Ghosh. This is the guy that directed Kahani.
Right.
So, I don't know if you were, you know, that's another one of the reasons why I'm really upset about Katrina's depiction in this movie. Because Sujoy Ghosh is known for doing, I mean, not known, I guess, based on Kahani alone. That was a really good movie featuring a really strong female protagonist. So I didn't expect Bang Bang to be genius. I didn't expect for the female character to be as she is. What did you think about that?
Yeah, it's very weird. Kahani is probably my favorite Hindi movie, and it's just disappointing. I don't know to what degree. Clearly, this was just localized, or largely localized. You know, the same scriptwriter for Night and Day gets credit for Bang Bang. So this is very much admitting that we're just taking a template, we're setting it in India. But yeah, I'm a little surprised that Katrina's character got so kneecapped by the script. That was a big disappointment. It's clearly, though, I'm always scared off a little bit by Hrithik's movies. I don't, nothing against him. He's okay. He's not as good a comic actor as Tom Cruise, which is part of the reason why this suffers.
That's not a thing I will agree on that. Yeah. Yeah, he tries to play. Yeah, it doesn't work. Whereas Tom Cruise plays psychotic and it's genius. Like, I love it.
Oh yeah, Tom Cruise might be my favorite actor.
So I think that wraps it up. Really quickly, would you recommend Bang Bang to anyone, if regardless of on its own or as a remake of Night and Day?
Probably not. It's okay. It's you know, it's got a lot of. Actually, no. I mean, yeah. I can't think of who would enjoy it.
No,
you've got better options.
Because you could just watch Night and Day. I feel because there's so much of it is directly, you know, copied from it that, and they don't improve upon anything. Like, no. You could just watch Night and Day and be done with it, I think. So that wraps up a pretty long-winded episode of the Split Screen Podcast. Whew! The show was a lot to say about those two movies, which, you know, bad movies do that, right? They get your juices, anger juices flowing, and you just can't stop reacting to them. But if you think you haven't had enough of hearing Kathy and I talking about Bang Bang and Night and Day, feel free to check out our websites. Both me and Kathy have reviewed Bang Bang when it originally came out last year. So take a look at those reviews. And you can follow Kathy directly on Twitter at Kathy F. Gibson and check out her webpage, accessbollywood.com. And as always, you can subscribe to this podcast on your preferred podcast app or visit the website, blankpagebeatdown.com, to listen directly on your browser, or you can download a copy right away. Subscribe to the site with your email in the top corner. Follow the podcast on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. Follow me directly, because why not, at The Shah Shahid. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/blankpagebeatdown. God, I screwed that up. And it's been 3 shows in, so I really want to get you guys' feedback. Let me know what you like about the show. Let me know what you don't. Let me know if you have any suggestions on how to improve the show. Or if you want to see a pair of movies or a remake movie of something else, throw those in there as well. Feel free to email all that to me, shah@blankpagebeatdown.com. Thank you one more time for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode. And hopefully it won't be as long or enraging as this one was.